At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, Bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
All right, joined now by John Krasinski of The Athletic, friend of the show now. This is now your second appearance. You're now officially a lounge member. You'll get your card in the mail here pretty soon. He is joining me on this nice, you know, kind of quiet, well, relatively quiet. We just got news that Bronny might play on opening night. So it won't be very quiet for very long. Thursday morning. John, how are you holding up?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, I feel honored to be a multi-time member of the show here. So this is a big deal. Let's have some fun.
Totally a big deal. It's just, you know, it'll stack, you know, the piece that you just wrote about Kat and you know, his relationship with your daughters, like how proud of a moment all of the fallout from that has been. This will be right there next to it on the old resume.
No question. Yep. Right. Maybe number two with a bullet. So
today on the show, we're going to be talking about this is the latest entry in the contender series. So essentially what I'm doing with the series is I'm finding the teams that I find most interesting coming into the season. The Wolves were already high up on that list because I thought they were probably going to be like a top two, maybe a top three team in the West coming into the season had they not made the trade. And obviously, you know, making the trade when they did right before camp sets off, all of that stuff really kind of shook the NBA world. You did a great job actually kind of talking about what that was like from Kat's perspective and how everything has been going. What's the fallout been as training camp is now underway and everybody is trying to move on? Do you think they'll be able to, or do you think this will kind of linger in the background?
Well, I mean, I think they'll be able to move forward while also acknowledging that Cat spent 9 years here and he was not just a, you know, a player here. He was a central part of everything that they did, both good and bad, in those 9 years. And so I do think there's a period of adjustment that they have to kind of go through in training camp, probably early in the regular season as well, just in terms of learning all, essentially a new style of play. You know, last year they were very unconventional with the two bigs in the front court and seemed to really kind of figure out that identity as the season went along. And now I do think that it's a different type of identity. It's certainly much more centered around Anthony Edwards. They're definitely a more conventional lineup because Randall is a more conventional power forward. And that may take a little bit of time to click in. But I do think it's easier for a team to go from unconventional to conventional than the other way around. So I think the learning curve is a little less steep than it was when they put Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns together and said, all right, let's do something totally different. But yeah, I think that right now we're still in sort of an adjustment period of, wow, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns is in a Knicks uniform and he's not here in Minnesota and he's not shooting threes. And that part of things is going to take, I think, a little bit of time for everyone, fans, coaches, players, everyone to kind of adjust to.
You mentioned the fans, and this was where my brain went to immediately when I saw the trade is obviously last season we charted all of the ownership drama between A-Rod and Glenn Taylor. Obviously, Glenn Taylor's name isn't exactly a popular one in Minnesota. And for Glenn Taylor to basically, from the outside looking in, it looked like he looked at Anthony Edwards like, I'm going to make a lot of money. This guy's going to be really popular. I'm not going to sell. And then, to go from, fans, I know for some of the fans of the Lakers lounge, they're kind of waiting for Genie to sell because of some spending concerns. And to go from not only is Glenn Taylor not going to sell to now here's what feels like a very financially forward move as you're trying to get Cat's deal off of the books to maybe be able to reinvest into the roster and the core that they've kind of built to this point. How are the fans handling this? This has got to be a tough one.
Yeah, it's interesting, Anthony, because for several years, Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't exactly a fan favorite here. I think fans kind of got frustrated with the lack of winning. Some sided with Jimmy Butler in the divorce, Cat's not tough enough, all this stuff. But then I think over these last 3 years, three straight playoff appearances, Western Conference Finals weren't run. Cat played very well in the playoffs until the Dallas series when he did not play well. But, I think in some ways Cat left at a high point in his popularity over, that hadn't been reached since like the first days that he was here as the number one overall pick. So yes, I think the fans were shocked clearly that they parted with, this guy who did seem to be finding his own role and niche in this team. And this team was actually winning. And so it was kind of like, now you're going to move him when it looks like this, this is a team that's poised to go be back in contention for another Final Four run and stuff. And so I do think that, yes, there was some real consternation about the timing of it that way. There also are, a subset of fans that believe Anthony Edwards can do no wrong and Cat can do no right. And so are kind of eager to see what this looks like now that it is completely unmistakably Anthony Edwards' team, that everything revolves around him. And so I think that because Ant is still here and because he's sort of the savior in a lot of fans' eyes, they're willing to give this the benefit of the doubt, at least for now, and just see how it works out. They're not just pitchforks and ready to burn the whole place down. But the initial reaction to it was, what the heck is going on here? What are we doing? And then, you know, as more of the reporting has come out, as more of the explanations have come out about, you know, how this works in the new CBA and what Randle and DiVincenzo can do for them and things, I think they've at least said, okay, let's just see what is going to happen here before we make a full judgment on it.
Yeah, I think the explanation is relatively simple, right? The worst contract that you can have in the NBA under this new CBA is a supermax on a player who isn't a max player. And like, it wouldn't surprise me to see Cat get traded again over the course of his current deal, because those deals, we're seeing it with Zach LaVine. We're seeing it with we're going to keep seeing it. We saw Paul George, the Clippers weren't willing to give Paul George his supermax because, you know, if you have a player who isn't a max player and you're paying him like a max player, that's really going to tie up your books. So I kind of get it from a financial standpoint. It's more just from the standpoint, like the part that I'm hung up on is the timing. And I don't think this trade wouldn't have been there later in the season. You know,
on that point, Anthony, just like this exact trade would not have been there because you cannot sign and trade players in the middle of a season. Uh-oh. And so the Knicks literally could not have done all of the little tiny signing trades to make that work. And so that was a thing that they were up against. I agree with you. At first, when I looked at it, I was like, you can't get Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo and a pick at the trade deadline if things aren't going well? I don't know. In this new collective bargaining agreement, it is so difficult to make trades if you're a second apron team. Like it's just really hard. And that's why, you know, when I say, I think it's absolutely fair to say this was at least partially, and maybe even mostly a financial move, but it's not this as simple as, we're spending too much money, I can't afford this, for Glenn Taylor or Alex Rodriguez or whoever. It was, the owners have enacted a salary cap now. That's, we have one. So, you know, you can say it's soft and all that, but with all of the restrictions on what kind of trades you can make in the second apron, who the free agents you can sign, the possibility of your first round draft pick getting bumped all the way to the bottom of the first round, like all of those mechanisms were put in place to make it impossible, essentially, for teams to be in the second apron for more than a year or so. And the Wolves just had no other way to get out of that and remain competitive than make a deal like this. And so that's where they're at right now.
Is the plan then to, because they're going to be, they're still going to be pretty close to the second apron if they keep Randle, if they keep Dante, and then they keep, you know, they re-sign their players. So eventually they're either going to have to make another trade like this to keep on kind of whittling down their books or let somebody walk. Is that how, what would the fallout be to trading a guy like, excuse me, I'm going to edit this.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What would the fallout be to trading a guy like Cat, who was kind of finding his footing, was finally, like, the fans were kind of finally coming around to him, you know, as like the second best player at is Ant is clearly the son to, you know, Cat and everybody else's planetary system. That was going to be the identity there moving forward. Then you trade Cat, who, again, it's a complicated relationship, but things were kind of starting to swing in the right direction. You trade him, and then you let the guys that you trade him for potentially walk on the back end of that deal to remain under the CBA. I agree completely with you. Like, the explanation to all of these moves is now just inherently there. We have to get under the second apron. It is just very, very difficult to operate up there, and you only want to go up there if you know for absolutely certain you're going to win a championship, right? And then you're going to sit up there for 2 years tops, and then you got to get back under it, you know, within that third year, because after that third year, that's when the penalties really start hitting. I get the explanation for it, but again, I'm looking at this through the lens and the prism of the fans, and that would be pretty tough to see this trade happen and then eventually watch the return on Cat kind of walk out the door anyway.
Yeah, I think that really there is pressure on the organization now to win and win at a high level. Now, do they have to win a championship? I don't think they have to, but I don't think they can afford to take a significant step backward from last season. I mean, if they're a one and done playoff team or something like that, and then Julius Randle walks, or, you know, you have these other things that you have to deal with. Yeah, I think that they're going to suffer a real damaging blow to their credibility within the fan base. Absolutely. And this is especially for a franchise that was finally feeling like after 20 years, they were coming out of this gutter that they were in. And, you know, they make the Western Conference Finals just the second time in franchise history. And so there was a feeling last year and last season that there was just an excitement and an energy around the fan base that hadn't been there in forever. And they believed that, okay, they went to the Western Conference Finals, stubbed their toe against Dallas, just weren't ready yet from a like mental preparation standpoint, because everyone was so new at that experience. And that now this year, you take all of those lessons, you learn from them, and then you take that next and final step.
Yep.
And so there has been a lot of pushback within the organization, I will say, to the idea that they got worse in this deal. But, you know, we'll see. But there's no question that they have to show the fans that this deal, both like for this season coming up and then the next several going forward, is going to make it more likely that they remain in top tier contention in the Western Conference. If it doesn't, then there will be a lot of, well, you never should have traded Cat, especially if Cat and the Knicks have a, you know, do great in the Eastern Conference and he's playing amazing and they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals, like, then you're going to really kind of have to pay the piper. So yeah, there's, you know, there are real understandable logical reasons on many fronts to make this trade, but this is a results-oriented league for the fans, not a process-oriented league. And so they're not going to be able to be placated by, yeah, but if you look at our cap sheet and you look at all these other things, this is what we had to do. No, it's like, are you going to win or are you not going to win? That's what they face now with it.
How much does the Vikings being great help this situation? Because, you know, I feel like, you know, the Vikings, I mean, I mention it every time I'm on the show because I'm just, I don't know what to do with my hands over this Vikings team. But they're 5-0. They're this super surprising team. It actually feels sustainable. I'm a little concerned about Sam Darnold as the quarterback of the team or whatever, but they still look great. Aaron Jones has been a revelation, all these things. And there's so much fun in such a different way here from like even the Kirk Cousins era that I feel like Minnesota fans are like, you know what? Let's just focus on this for the time being. And then we'll come back to the Wolves when that time comes. How much do you think that's kind of helped with the general sentiment around the move?
Yeah, I mean, it might a little bit in terms of, you know, I really believe that there were people, Wolves fans, people in the Wolves organization. You go through the summer, the Twins are bad. They fade away. Everyone's ready to get off of that bandwagon. And then it seemed like the Vikings were just going to be six, seven wins and kind of born in. So like there was a real like thought of, hey, maybe the Timberwolves can jump up and just snatch things and like just take this town over. Now, you're never going to overtake the Vikings for popularity in the city. But what you could do is for this like snapshot in time with Anthony Edwards, with a really exciting team, maybe you just grab a bigger market share than you've ever had. Now, I think that this is actually a good thing for them because there probably is going to be some bumps in the road early on in the season while they're figuring all of this out. It very well may be that they become a better team in the long run of this season than they would have been with Cat. I can't say for sure, but I don't think it's ridiculous to say that. So, but there's going to be a learning curve. And if they start out a little slow because of that, because they're figuring out how to work Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert, because you know, their Ant and Julius are figuring out who can stop the ball the most in a possession and do all that, like that having the Vikings distract the majority of fans while they're working through that, so that maybe, you know, come late December, come January, they got things clicking and start really playing well, just as fans are starting to turn their attention a little bit toward the NBA, that might be a very good thing for them for sure.
Yeah, it was something that kind of dawned on me during the Packers game. Was like, because I think that the Packers game was their fourth win, the Vikings fourth win. I think it was the first game since like after the Cat trade, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, they're beating the brakes. Now they wind up falling to earth in that game, but they're beating the brakes off the Packers in Lambeau. Like I can't think of even the Lakers while this is all going on. Like I'm just like, what is happening? This is incredible. I do really think that there's a lot to what you're talking about there, that during that learning curve, while they're figuring this out, the Vikings are going to be in the midst of what appears to be like conservatively, if they stay healthy, a 10 to 13 win season probably, and might have an outside chance at the division, definitely going to be a playoff team, all of these things. Kevin O'Connell looks to be, you know, the exact type of coach that everybody was kind of hoping he would be. That helps, you know, for a city like Minneapolis and a region like Minnesota that has been through it when it comes to their sports teams, you know, getting to rally around a nothing but positive story to this point in the Vikings, I think, does really kind of help. You know, kind of grease the wheels for that time when the focus does shift all the way over to Minnesota, to the Timberwolves. You kind of hit on it a little bit, but it's kind of a tough way to answer this. I'm, you know, the bottom bullet there is, are the Wolves better, worse, or just different? If you had to choose one of those three responses, which do you think you would head towards?
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yeah, I mean, right now, because I just haven't seen enough of this new iteration on the court, I have to say different right now, because they certainly are. I mean,
yeah,
Karl Anthony Towns occupied so much of the identity, especially offensively, of that team for so long that when you kind of reconfigure it the way that they did with Julius Randle, a completely different player than Cat, with Dante DiVincenzo, a shooter that they've never had or they haven't had for a very long time, it's going to look entirely different. And that's what I think ultimately, I think Chris Finch wanted different in terms of, you know, this is a team for as talented as Cat was and is offensively, he's a great offensive player. They were 17th in the NBA in offensive efficiency last year. It just didn't seem like the Cat Ant thing was as potent a duo as it should be for how individually talented both of them are. Maybe that's, maybe some of that is Rudy Gobert. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure, but that as constructed, they could not figure out a way to generate offense. And that's what was their undoing against Dallas. They just could not make enough shots to keep up with Luka and Kyrie in the Western Conference Finals. And so, so they're totally different now with the way that they're going to approach it. But I, like I said before, I have been surprised by how sort of confident internally they have been about their ability to be better. Initially when we broke the trade and you're trying to kind of process it and think about, okay, why did this happen? What's going to be the fallout of it? I was just much more definitive in, yeah, this is entirely different, and they may have taken a small step back so that they can position themselves to take a step forward in the next couple of years after that. But in speaking to people in the organization, it's like, no, Chris Finch coached Julius Randle in New Orleans. He knows how to work with him. Dante DiVincenzo is going to give them a dimension of perimeter shooting that Finch has sorely wanted in this offense for years. And so I'm not going to say they're better right now just because I know how good of a player Cat is. But I'm kind of just reserving judgment and trying to see exactly what it looks like before I figure that out. But I, as of right now, I'll say different, just because it's going to be, you know, really weird to see them out there without 32 hitting threes and driving to the basket and calling whining for fouls and falling to the court and all the things good and bad that he brought to the table.
I guess it'll be kind of nice to not see him like walk to the bench with 5 fouls late in a fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there's anyone I think who is maybe higher on the Cat 9-year run here than I was in terms of just everything that he went through. 7 general managers and 5 head coaches in his first 7 years.
Not to mention the personal loss.
Jimmy Butler, all that drama. Like he was not done any favors by the organization early on. And yet he never requested a trade. He never asked for the easy way out. He stayed in it. He wanted to be here. So I respected all of that. That said, there were times absolutely where you wanted to tear your hair out watching, you know, a silly foul, you know, 50 feet from the basket, whether you know, kicking his leg out, shooting threes and picking up an offensive foul. There were things that he did that certainly were, frustrating for anyone to watch. And so I understand that part of it too. He was by far from a perfect player. But you know, it's going to be, I think there will be a different experience watching Timberwolves basketball on both sides of the good and the bad, without Karl-Anthony Towns here.
You mentioned the internal confidence. What kind of sense are you getting from the players? I think it really helps to have Anthony Edwards, who is maybe the most confident player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And you know, it really shines through. You did a great job of kind of summarizing the Netflix show, his appearances on the Netflix show, and how close he is with his family and how much he relies on them. I really loved the stretch of the show where after he hurt his hip, you're watching him like they're like telling him, like, no, I know it sucks, but you got to go through all the rehab. You got to do all these things. And him kind of reluctantly, like, I know, you know, it's like they did. I think of all of the players, I think they did the best job of really kind of summarizing Ant. So I think he's going to make it so that, you know, the message is always going to be confident, but like how are you, from what you've seen in camp so far and, you know, after the immediate, you know, kind of fallout of the shock with this trade, how are you sensing things are going there with the players?
Yeah. I mean, I do think to a man with the players, they were all shocked when Cat got traded. They did not see it coming. They did not expect it. And a lot of them were close with him. He was very accommodating to Rudy Gobert, switching positions, you know, trying to get him involved in the offense, all of those things. He was very accommodating to Anthony Edwards as he sort of rose above Cat on the pecking order in Minnesota. He did not pitch any fits. He wasn't bitter about it. He was good. Like he wants to be liked. I think initially everyone was shocked. They could not believe that this happened. Just stunned was a lot of the kind of emotion that you were getting from players. But as they have settled in, I think that they see what both Randall and DiVincenzo can bring to the table. And so I don't think there's any sort of sense of, oh man, we're screwed. You know, we don't have Cat, you know, this is going to change everything and everything is so much harder. You're right. I think Ant's confidence and belief in himself is paramount to that. But also one thing that is really impressive about Anthony Edwards is he doesn't just breathe belief into himself. He breathes it into his teammates. Like there's no guy that I've seen that is more positive and more empowering with his teammates than Ant is. I mean, every interview that he does after games, I scored 43 points, but you know what? Jaden McDaniels got the key stop. I had this big dunk, but Rudy Gobert on the weak side blocking shots and protecting the rim was really what won us the game. Like he says that stuff all of the time.
Yeah.
And it's genuine. It comes off as authentic. And so these guys believe in him. And I think they see a path with DiVincenzo's 3-pointers, with Julius Randle being able to make plays some, and also just give them another kind of bucket getter. Cause in Dallas, they only had one bucket getter when the defense was, you know, kind of clamped on and the shot clock was winding down. It was like, Ant, please save us. And now you add Randall to that, who can get his own shot. Even Dillingham a little bit coming in, will be able to provide that a little bit. I think they have a different element in that way as well. And so there is some optimism about what they have and about their ability to make all of this work. And it starts with number 5 and just the tone that he set throughout the whole camp.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
All right. Last thing before we get you out of here, Lakers fans, kind of stick with me, or you can cancel. You could walk away if you want. I got to ask about the Vikings. This is this has been. So I became a fan when I was really young because they wore purple and gold, and I thought they were like the Lakers cousins. And then when I was like 9 or 10 years old was the Randy Moss year when they went 15-1 and then unfortunately lost in the NFC championship game. That was when my fandom really, really kind of took off. Been a fan ever since. And I can legitimately say these first five games have been like the most exciting opening to a season, I think, since that 15-1 season. And I really think I questions about Sam Darnold and all of that stuff aside, I really think this feels sustainable. How sustainable do you feel like this run is and will be moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it feels real to me. I mean, I think the one thing that you look at with some nominal concern is the defense creates a ton of turnovers, and up until the last week or two, the offense hadn't turned the ball over at all. And so that certainly contributes a lot. And there can be some luck involved in those types of plays, whether they, whether they happen for the defense or the offense turns it over. And so if there's any regression to a mean, maybe the defense doesn't create as many turnovers, after the bye, and maybe that Darnold, turns back into the turnover machine that he was earlier in his career. But other than that, I think all of what they're doing is replicable. The defense is unbelievable. The offense with Jefferson, with Jones, with Addison, with Hockenson will be coming back fairly soon after the bye. They have a lot of weapons, and the offensive line is playing well. And Darnold has been a really good quarterback for them. And so the real key, I think, that what we have seen so far is they're one of the best coach teams in the NFL, like both sides.
100%.
And if you have really smart coaches that put together really smart game plans, that gives you a chance every week. And so there's real belief in that locker room, in the leadership that they have and what they're telling them to do. And so, yeah, I mean, are they going to go 17-0? No, I don't think so. But I do think that they went from a team that started the season, and I figured, man, if they can get to 7 wins, that would be a good season for them, to now it's like, now they might be the best team in the NFC. Like, I legitimately believe that.
Yeah.
That's a real possibility.
I think so too. I you look at the teams that they've beaten so far, it's not like they've just kind of, they've racked up wins against tougher, against teams that are in tougher situations. Yeah. It's the Niners, it's the Packers and Lambeau, even this last Jets game in London, right? Weird stuff happens, thousands of miles away from your home stadium in what was supposed to be a home game. The Texans win was at dominant, and again, like you mentioned, Hawk is going to be back after the bye. I this is a super random question. I actually asked this of Alec, Alec Lewis covers the Vikings for The Athletic, does a great job there too. I DM'd him this because my buddy and I, he was just given a Randy Moss rookie card for his birthday. And, it's a rookie card because he's wearing 18.
Yeah.
On his jersey. And I don't think this is necessarily why JJ wears it, but I'm trying to look for other reasons why JJ would wear number 18. He wore two his senior year in college. He wasn't drafted in 2018. He wasn't the 18th overall pick. Is it like a 5% chance that I could even believe the lie that that Justin Jefferson is wearing 18 as like a deep cut reference to Randy Moss's rookie year?
I that would be awesome if it was.
It'd be one of the coolest things I've ever seen a player do.
One of the things that I think about, though, is like when Justin came into the league, they still had not yet really greenlit position players wearing really small numbers. And so, like, a lot of times there would be other receivers that wore 17, 18, and it was like, hey, why did you pick that number? It was the lowest number I could get. Like, that was a lot of times the answer for it. But I also wouldn't put it past the Vikings to have said, hey, I know you want a little number. We can't give you two. Moss wore 18 before he turned to 84. What do you think about that? And that is entirely possible. I think it's worth like a little bit more exploration just to find out. But my thought is initially is that, you know, he couldn't get two right away. He couldn't get, you know, he couldn't get those super low numbers. And so 18 was like available, and that was like as low as you could possibly go. And that's it. But it might be worth looking into for sure, because I would not be surprised if the Vikings people said, hey, Justin, Moss wore 18 before he had to turn to 84. What do you think? And he said, like, let's do it. So that's possible. Yeah. That's possible.
I mean, it's clear he loves the Vikings organization, right? To be as patient as he's been with them, you know, the utmost belief, it looks like, in KOC as well. You know, he's one of the few players who I actually would like legitimately believe the story, you know?
Yeah.
Because of how much he seems to love Minnesota and how much he loves the organization. It's been really fun to watch him just take all this in, you know, he's just like walking around, just like, you know, an LED light, you know, just walking around, just like, I can't believe what is happening right now, because none of us can. It's been really fun to watch, and it's been an absolute joy to talk to you again here on the lounge, your second time around. I'm hoping we'll make it a third at some point in the season. Is there anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I have the John Krasinski Show is our Timberwolves podcast on talknorth.com. If you go there, you can find it, or you go to Apple, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find that. And then just, all of my written work is at The Athletic, theathletic.com. Go there, subscribe, and you get me, but you also get a million other just really talented writers in all the sports. And we'd love to have you if you haven't subscribed and joined up yet.
Check him out. It's great stuff. He does a phenomenal job of telling the story. Like that cat piece that you just wrote is legitimately one of the best pieces I've read, especially in a trade fallout situation, that it really told a human, you know, the human story behind what felt at the moment like a salary dump. So it was a great piece. Thank you very much, John. Have a great rest of your day, and best of luck this season.
Thanks a lot, Anthony. I appreciate it, man.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.